Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah, and you're listening to Mystic and Murder, a paranormal, unexplained, and true crime podcast. On today's episode, we're covering part two of The Exorcism of Roland Doe, aka the real story behind the famous 1973 movie, The Exorcist. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you may want to listen to that first. In part one, we discussed all of the eerie events leading up to the exorcism, and on today's episode, we will be covering the grueling 34 days it took to exorcise the demon that possessed Ronald Hunkeler, aka Roland Doe. Before we begin, I want to announce that I'll be taking a little break for the holidays, so the next episode will be posted in mid-January. Now, let's dive into all things weird. We left off talking about the stages of demonic activity, with the fourth and final stage being full-blown demonic possession. At this point, an exorcism is needed to expel the demonic entity from its host. This can only be done by an appointed exorcist, and the Archbishop of St. Louis had chosen Father Bowdern to perform Ronald's exorcism. On March 16th, Father Bowdern, Father Bishop, and at the time, a Jesuit seminary student named Walter Halloran arrived at the Hunkeler residence on Roanoke Drive. Walter Halloran had been recruited to help hold Ronald down, should he become unnaturally strong. Side note, although he was a student at the time, you'll hear me refer to him as Father Halloran because he did become a priest later on in his life. Father Bowdern and Father Bishop donned their surplices, which are the long white tunics, as well as their purple stoles, which is the long, scarf-like piece of fabric that they place around their necks. With them, they both carried a copy of the Roman ritual, and Father Bowdern carried a bottle of holy water. They began the exorcism with Ronald in his bed. Father Bowdern sprinkled holy water on the bed and on Ronald as he made the sign of the cross. Then he knelt down on one side of the bed, Father Bishop knelt down on the other side, and Father Halloran knelt at the end of the bed. Ronald's family all knelt next to the bed as well. They began reciting prayers, and according to Father Halloran, the bed began levitating about 8 inches off the floor. It would levitate and slam down again repeatedly. As Father Bowdern commanded the entity to tell him its name, Ronald began to scream in agony. He jumped up from the bed and ripped open his pajama top to reveal 3 long red welts across his chest. Each time Father said the words Lord or God, a new welt would appear on his body. When asked for a sign of when the demon would leave his body, scratches formed the word Go on his stomach, as well as an X. They wondered if this meant if the demon would leave in 10 days. After the X, Ronald fell into a deep sleep, but Father Bowdern continued reciting prayers of exorcism. Ronald began convulsing in his sleep, mumbling under his breath, thrashing and tearing at his pillow. Father Bowdern sprinkled holy water over him, and instantly Ronald woke up. He said that he had dreamt that he was fighting with a quote-unquote Red Devil, who was trying to keep Ronald imprisoned in a burning pit, but he felt like he was winning. Father Bowdern continued the prayers. Ronald's eyes began rolling backwards in his head, and his body began to thrash around again. Father Halloran and his uncle held Ronald down by the shoulders. He flailed around and spat in their faces as Father Bowdern continued to pray. They continued to restrain him as he violently thrashed around on the bed, writhing, spitting, and shaking in a trance. Holy water was poured on him multiple times to release him from this trance, but he would just fall right back into it. Around 5 a.m., Father Bowdern recited the last prayer of exorcism, and all became quiet. They thought that the demon had been purged from his body, but it was far from over. As Father Bishop began to say a prayer of gratitude, Ronald bolted upright in his bed, but his eyes were still shut. He began singing Way Down Upon the Suwannee River in a loud, high-pitched voice while his arms swung wildly. Father Bowdern began praying again. Finally, at 7:30 a.m., Ronald fell into a natural sleep, and he continued to sleep until 1 p.m. on the 17th. When he woke, he seemed normal, ate some food, and even played a game of Monopoly with his family. In the days that followed, the priests had to carry out their regular duties while being sworn to secrecy about the exorcism. Father Bowden worked as a pastor in the day and an exorcist at night. Father Bishop continued to teach classes in the daytime, and Father Halloran was a student whose hours were rigidly controlled. He had to get private permission from a superior priest to be able to stay out all night. When the priests arrived on the night of the 17th, Ronald's mother, Odell, frantically greeted them at the door. Ronald had gone to bed around 9 p.m. that night, extremely tired from the night before, but almost immediately he had begun to thrash around, scream, kick, scratch, and spit. Ronald's father, Edwin, and his uncle, Leonard, restrained him until the priest got there. Father Bowden sprinkled him with holy water, causing him to come out of the trance for just a minute before he slipped back into it. Father Bowden began the prayers of exorcism again, and it was another long night. On the third night, the priests arrived early and even played a few games with Ronald, who enjoyed their company. It was only when Ronald went to bed that things became violent again. Throughout the night, Ronald's body contorted, he screamed, he sang, he spit, kicked, and bit, and about 12 a.m., things became calm for just a moment. At one point, Ronald dropped to his knees in the middle of the bed and began praying. Suddenly, he stood up on the bed. The diary states, quote, "He made as though he was trying to vomit from his stomach. His gestures moved upwards, close to his body. He seemed to try and lift the devil from his stomach to his throat. He yelled for someone to open the window and began screaming, 'He's going! He's going! There he goes!' And then he collapsed on the bed." Everything was peaceful. Again, they believed it was over. According to Ronald, he had seen a huge black stain clouding his vision. Inside that stain, he saw a figure in a black cowl who had turned and started to walk away from him. It grew smaller and smaller until it was gone. Everyone chatted for a while, all was normal, and the priests left at 1:30 a.m. They all went to bed that night, extremely joyous. However, at 3:15 a.m., Father Bowden was awoken by the telephone ringing. He picked up the phone, only to hear Ronald screaming, "He's coming back." The exorcism continued nightly for the next several days. On top of everything else, Ronald had begun urinating all over the bed, singing different songs in strange voices, insulting the priests, cursing at them, throwing punches, and more. In the daytime, Ronald couldn't remember any of the events that had occurred during the night. On March 21st, Ronald was removed from the home so the family could have a chance to get a good night's sleep. They admitted him to Alexian Brothers Hospital, which was founded and run by Catholic monks. That night, when they recited the prayers of exorcism, there were no interruptions at all. Ronald was awake the entire time, and everything went smoothly. Around 11:30 p.m., he fell asleep, and for the first time in months, he slept peacefully throughout the entire night. They hoped that Ronald was beginning to recover and decided to have him return home on the 22nd. Unfortunately, the peace didn't last. It was another night of kneeling around a shaking bed, reciting the prayers of exorcism, and trying to pull the young boy from his trance. Ronald was in more of a docile state this night, so they were hopeful. At this point, they began to talk to Ronald's parents about having him convert to Catholicism. They thought that perhaps if he was a part of the Catholic Church, he would have greater protection from this evil spirit. His parents agreed. On the 23rd, they decide to set Ronald up in a room at the St. Francis Xavier Rectory. During the day, Father Bowden talked to Ronald about Catholicism and taught him several prayers. Around 9:30 p.m. that night, Ronald, his dad Edwin, Father Bowdern, Father Bishop, and Father Halloran all gathered together in the room they had set up for him. This time, they were also joined by another priest, Father William Van Roo. They began their prayers, and Ronald became violent almost instantly. He thrashed, screamed, and kicked, all while his eyes were clenched shut. Father Halloran and Father Van Roo held him down. Suddenly, Ronald calmed down, opened his eyes, looked up at Father Halloran, and smiled. He spoke in his normal voice, and he said, "Please let go of my arms. You're hurting me." Father Halloran was hesitant, but loosened his grip. Father Van Roo also loosened his. Ronald snapped back into his trance, letting out a loud scream. They both tightened their grips and held him down, but remembering what Ronald had just said, Father Van Roo recommended that they lighten their grip. Father Halloran wanted to object, as he had seen Ronald do this before, but he was only a student, and Father Van Roo was a priest, so he followed Father Van Roo's orders and loosened his grip. Suddenly, Ronald wound his arm back and punched him right in the nose, breaking it. In quick succession, his other hand swung backwards at Father Van Roo, hitting him in the face and causing a major nosebleed. They grabbed Ronald's arms tightly, and this time, they didn't let go. As the exorcism prayers were read, Ronald urinated all over and passed gas that smelled inhumanely foul, all while laughing and screaming. Every so often, he would come out of it and show the frightened little boy he truly was, and then snap right back into it. At one point, Ronald, or the demon possessing him, said to Father Bowdern, I see you, you're in hell, it's 1957. Father Bowdern still continued his prayers. As a side note, Father Bowdern lived until 1983, so clearly that was just some scare tactic used by the demonic entity. That night, things were the worst that they had ever been up to this point. Ronald made sexual comments and gestures, he described the anatomy of each male in the room, and he shouted obscenities so terrible that Father Bishop refused to write them down. It finally ended around 2:30 a.m. when Ronald's body went limp and he fell asleep. Most of the diary only covers what happened at nighttime, because Ronald seemed to be pretty normal during the day. He would keep to himself, read, and learn about the Catholic faith. He was actually close with Father Bowdern. He liked and trusted him. On the night of the 25th, Ronald fell into a different type of trance. His body was moving frantically, but his face appeared completely calm. His body moved faster and faster until his body convulsed so badly that he fell off the bed and onto the floor. Father Halloran lifted him up off the floor and put him back into the bed. The movements began again, and he rolled off the bed and into the arms of Father Van Roo. Again, he was put back into bed, but this time the movements stopped. Ronald remained silent and calm, but he wasn't sleeping. He remained that way until after midnight, when suddenly he broke his silence by cursing at his father Edwin and spitting in his face. He managed to escape the hold of Father Halloran and Father Van Roo, and he began kicking both Edwin and Father Bowdern. Just moments after the outburst, he fell asleep. On this night, Father Bowdern decided to continue the prayers of exorcism while he slept, rather than conclude the night's session. This night marked the 10th night. Remember the X that was clawed onto Ronald's body? The priest hoped that this was a sign that the demon would leave on the 10th night. As Father Bowdern read the prayers, Ronald remained asleep. He was peaceful and calm while Father Bowdern read Latin words like Dominus, Jesu, and Deus. These words, meaning God, Jesus, and deity, had caused violent reactions every single night prior to this. Father Bowdern was hopeful that this meant the demon had finally left. He concluded his prayers, sprinkled the bed with holy water, and everyone left. He felt a sense of calmness that he had not felt in the past 10 days. They thought that the night of the 26th would be the most telling. If Ronald could get through that night without incident, they believed it was finally over. On the night of Saturday the 26th, the 11th night, all was quiet. Ronald slept peacefully. Sunday night was the same. They thought that finally, Ronald had been freed from the demon that had possessed him. On Monday, Edwin went to go back to their home state in Maryland to work, and Odell and Ronald began making plans to go home as well. On Monday afternoon, Father Bowden dropped by the house on Roanoke Drive, blessed each room, and sat down to talk to Ronald. He asked how he was feeling, and more specifically, if he was feeling any different. Ronald seemed a bit confused by this question, and responded that he had been feeling fine, but felt as though some nights he wasn't getting enough sleep. This goes to show that he really didn't have a recollection of the events that occurred while he was possessed. Tuesday and Wednesday came and went with no issue, things were seemingly normal, and Odell and Ronald were really looking forward to going back home. On Thursday night, Ronald went to bed early, but came downstairs around 11:30 p.m. and told his mom that he wasn't feeling well. She told him to try to get back to sleep, but he said that he felt scared. He asked the adults to come upstairs with them, and they cautiously obliged. They were all a bit nervous, and they were hoping that nothing was going to come of it. Ronald hopped into his bed, and when he did, his eyes clouded over and his head fell back. It looked like he was going into another one of his trances. This time, his finger began tracing along the sheets, almost as if he were trying to write something. The bed began to shake, he lowered his head and stared directly at the sheet where he was tracing his finger, but his eyes were closed. He began to speak, and his cousin Janice, the one who asked Father Bishop to meet with Ronald in the first place, wrote down his every word. This is what he said. "I will stay 10 days, but will return in 4 days. If Ronald stays, gone to lunch. If you stay and become a Catholic, it will stay away, Odell. God will take it away 4 days after it has gone 10 days. God is getting powerful. The last day when it quits will leave a terrible sign on my front. Father Bishop, all people that mangle with me will die a terrible death." End quote. Odell called the rectory in tears. She told Father Bowden what Ronald had said, and he told her he was on his way. He arrived shortly after 1 a.m. with Father Halloran and Father Van Roo. Father Bishop was not present this time. It's possible that Father Bowden thought it best not to bring him, considering the threat in Ronald's statement. When they entered Ronald's room, they saw Ronald on the bed and began reading over the notes that Janice had written down. Despite the urge to ask Ronald what he meant, Father Bowden knew that he should not engage in conversation with a demon. The Roman ritual had warned about that. So he began reading the prayers of exorcism instead. Ronald interrupted him and asked him for a pencil. Thinking that this could be a method of distraction or an attempt to stop the exorcism, Father Bowden continued reading and gestured for someone else to get him a pencil. Ronald began to write on the bedsheet itself. Janice tried to keep a record of what he was writing in the notebook, but some of the things he was scribbling weren't legible. He was running out of room fast. Leonard was an architect, and he had a print shop, so he quickly left the room and came back with large pieces of paper. He tacked them to the wall, and Ronald immediately switched from the bedsheet to the paper. He continued writing for 2 more hours before he stopped and fell asleep. The priest gathered all the papers, Janice's notes, and the bedsheets so they could analyze them later. The Roman ritual states that sometimes the devil will leave the possessed person to make it appear that he has departed, and that appears to be exactly what happened here. Everything went smoothly for a few days, they became hopeful, and they let their guards down, and now it was back. When looking over Ronald's writings, they tried to find responses to questions he was asked. For example, during the exorcism, the demon is commanded to reveal his name. One response said, I will answer to the name of spite. Whereas another answer was much more specific. It read, I am the devil himself. There were other interesting things in his writing too, like the statement, you will have to pray for a month in the Catholic Church, and a drawing of a human's face. The face was unrecognizable because it wasn't drawn well, but next to it were the words, dead bishop. After this night, Father Bowden thought that the best course of action would be to baptize Ronald in the Catholic Church, followed by having Ronald partake in the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. His parents agreed, and his baptism was set for April 1st at St. Francis Xavier Church. That night, around 7:30 p.m., Ronald and his family left for the church. Ronald was sitting in the back seat between his parents, Edwin and Odell. His Aunt Doris was in the passenger seat, and his Uncle Leonard was driving. Ronald had complained that he didn't feel well, but his parents assumed that he may have just been nervous about the baptism. They were a few blocks away from the church, and the radio was playing quietly when suddenly it turned to static. Ronald's behavior changed entirely, and he appeared to be filled with rage. He shouted in a guttural voice, "So you're going to baptize me? And you think you'll drive me out with the Holy Communion?" The next thing they knew, Ronald had jumped out of his seat and tried to grab the steering wheel as he let out an inhumane scream. He laughed as he got a hold of the wheel and tried to steer the car off the road. He yelled profanities as Leonard fought to gain control over the wheel. Finally, Leonard was able to get his hand on the emergency brake. Once the car came to a stop, he turned it off and took the keys out of the ignition. Unfortunately, this wasn't the end of it. The static was still playing on the radio as Ronald turned his attention to the back seat and grabbed Odell's throat. Edwin pulled him off her, and Odell quickly slipped out of the car while Leonard helped Edwin restrain Ronald. He was biting and barking like a dog when Odell hopped into the driver's seat and drove toward the church as fast as she could. Doris later recalled that although she had switched off the radio, it continued to emit loud bursts of static all the way to the church. When they got there, Leonard and Edwin pulled Ronald out of the car. He was kicking, screaming, spitting, cursing, and laughing maniacally as they dragged him towards the church steps. Father Bowden had heard the commotion and greeted them outside. He decided it was best to take Ronald to the rectory instead of allowing him inside the church in his current state. They quickly escorted him to the rectory, and once inside, Ronald began screaming and howling like a dog. The next thing they knew, he was vomiting everywhere, and it wasn't your standard throw-up. It was a combination of mucus and blood. Father Bowden ended up throwing a pitcher of ice water on him to get him to snap out of it, and it worked. Suddenly, Ronald calmed. Shortly after, he went limp in his father and uncle's arms. But it wasn't out of weakness. No, he was simply refusing to walk. He threw his head back, laughing again as they dragged him up to the third floor bedroom that he had occupied just 1 week before. They held him down as Father Bowden began to baptize him. When Father asked if Ronald renounced Satan and all of his works, the boy snarled at him and attempted to jolt towards him, but Edwin and Leonard held firm. He then spat in Father Bowden's face, despite the several feet between them. Father Bowden asked him again, and this time his body arched toward the ceiling and he almost broke free. Father Bowden asked a third time, and then a fourth, when finally the 13-year-old boy managed to whisper, I do renounce Satan and all of his works. Then his eyes shut as the demon took over again. Ronald, or the demon, fought to break free and began spitting blood and mucus everywhere. Despite this, Father Bowden continued the baptism. He touched Ronald's face with holy water, which caused him to grow enraged. Father Bowden continued to throw holy water on the boy over and over, despite the cursing and spitting coming from Ronald. It took nearly 4 hours to baptize him. He ended the night with the prayers of exorcism, and Ronald fell asleep around 11:30. Odell, Doris, and Leonard went home, while Edwin stayed the night at the rectory with his son. Everyone hoped that the baptism would bring Ronald strength and power against the demonic attacks, but unfortunately, that wasn't the case. According to the diary, Ronald woke up the day after the baptism and immediately slipped into a trance that lasted more than 15 hours. When that was over, Father Bowden decided to prepare Ronald for his first communion, and it would be done that day. That didn't go so well either. When Father Bowden put the host in Ronald's mouth, he spit it out. This continued for 2 hours before it was successful and Ronald had made his first Holy Communion. Afterwards, the atmosphere in the room, as well as Ronald's personality, totally changed. He seemed very calm and at peace. They got him in the car and prepared to take him home, but on the way home, things started up again. He fell in and out of trances where he would just growl. This continued for the rest of the day. That night, as Father Bowden read the prayers of exorcism, he seemed to be behaving normally when suddenly Ronald got off the bed and ran downstairs. Father Bowden instructed him to come back, and he did, but once he came back, he snatched a copy of the Roman ritual and began tearing pages from the book. Eventually, they were able to stop him. Father Bowden opened another copy of the Roman ritual and continued. When Father Bowden commanded the demon to reveal his name, Ronald began speaking in perfect Latin. He said the exact words that Father Bowden had just read aloud, mocking him. Ronald had no idea how to speak Latin. As Father Bowden demanded the demon to reveal when it would leave, two marks appeared on Ronald's body. One was an X, like they had seen before, and the other was the number 18. Ronald finally came out of the trance at 1:15 a.m. This night was different, though. He usually came out of the trance and fell asleep almost immediately, but on this night, he crawled into his father's arms. Edwin had returned home from Maryland after hearing the news of the demon's return. Ronald pleaded with his father to take him back to Maryland, and he said that he was going crazy here in St. Louis. For the first time, Ronald seemed to have some awareness of what was happening to him. Over the next 2 days, Ronald had periods of violence, trances, drifting in and out of awareness, and periods of being in an eerily calm, almost hypnotic state, which his family described as lifelessness. Their stay in St. Louis had certainly taken a toll on everyone, and they had already made plans to go home when Ronald was showing signs of normalcy during that short period of time. On Monday, April 4th, the Hunklers packed their bags and began traveling home on a train to Maryland. Accompanying them were Father Bowden and Father Van Roo. Father Bowden tried to find help for Ronald in the Washington, D.C. area, which was just a short drive from their home in Cottage City, but he wasn't having any luck. He was the only one who could continue the exorcism. He hoped to have Ronald admitted to a Catholic mental institution before continuing the exorcism because of his violent tendencies. He wanted to find a place that had sufficient restraints before they continued. On that first night back at home, Ronald seemed extremely tired and went to bed around 8:30 p.m. Things were quiet for a while when suddenly Edwin and Odell began to hear a thumping noise, followed by Ronald screaming. The bed was shaking again. Father Bowden and Father Van Roo arrived and began the prayers of exorcism yet again. Scratches appeared on Ronald's body throughout the night, forming words and numbers. The words formed were hell and spite, and the numbers were 4, 8, 10, and 16. Then, something new happened. Ronald began to speak in a very deep voice, and he said, "I will not go until a certain word is pronounced, and this boy will never say it." The remainder of the night involved more scratches on his body, projectile vomiting, singing, cursing, and the like. Things were not getting any better. The next day, Father Bowden continued to try to find a local place that would take Ronald in, but no institutions were willing to take him. Father Bowden made one last call to the Alexian Brothers Hospital back in St. Louis. They agreed to take him. Father spoke with Edwin and Odell, who agreed to take Ronald back to St. Louis and have him admitted to the Alexian Brothers Hospital. Father Van Rue arranged the train ride back and informed the Alexian Brothers that Ronald would arrive at their facility on Sunday, April 10th, which was also Palm Sunday and the beginning of the Holy Week. When Ronald arrived, he was taken to a secure ward on the fifth floor. The monk in charge of the hospital had arranged for constant prayer for Ronald. A golden container with a consecrated host was placed in the chapel between two lighted candles. Monks came into the chapel day and night and knelt to pray for someone they knew only as the boy on the fifth floor. The exorcism was an official secret, but some of the brothers knew what was going on, as well as some of the hospital staff. Some of them even assisted in the exorcism. In 2014, one Alexian monk broke his silence on the subject in an interview with Troy Taylor, the author of a book called The Devil Came to St. Louis. Definitely go check it out. The uncensored version is one of the sources I used in my research for this case. You can also watch parts of this interview on the Discovery Plus documentary called The Exorcism of Roland Doe, which was another one of my sources for this case. When Brother Greg Holowinski spoke to Troy, he was dying of cancer and didn't have much longer to live. He wanted someone to know what he witnessed back in 1949. He was convinced that Ronald truly was possessed by a demon. He was recruited to help restrain Ronald, and he spoke about the inhuman strength that the boy had. He was barely able to hold him down, despite the fact that he was just a small 13-year-old. He spoke of the first night that he met Ronald. He witnessed him grab one of the priest's purple stoles and somehow turn it into 1,000 threads within seconds. Once, he and Ronald were the only ones in the room when a glass decanter was hurled at his head, but it came from the opposite side of the room from both he and Ronald. He also spoke of a night where Ronald's entire body was levitating 18 inches off of the mattress. He said, quote, "You could feel the powers of the devil. I saw the boy's body levitate. I was at the foot of the bed and my arms crossed over from his ankle to his knee. I was frightened. What I saw was real. What I touched was real. It was an experience that I would never forget. Anybody with common sense just walking in, seeing that, just knew that it couldn't be faked." End quote. Ronald's first night at the Alexian Brothers Hospital on Palm Sunday went smoothly. Father Bowden had conducted Mass earlier in the day, and by 7 p.m. he was at the hospital with Ronald. They spoke for a while, and he noticed that Ronald seemed very relaxed and unbothered. He decided to start the prayers of exorcism earlier than usual because of this, and it went smoothly. There were no interruptions from Ronald, and he even joined in on some of the prayers. Father Bowden was hopeful that the Holy Week would be the key to forcing the demon out for good. During Monday night's prayers of exorcism, the word exit and an arrow pointing towards Ronald's groin appeared on his chest in bloody scratches. At one point, Ronald screamed out in pain and said that his insides felt like they were burning. He pointed towards his kidneys and he said that his groin felt like it was burning too. He began to urinate all over as he cried out in pain. Father Bowden wanted to give the boy Holy Communion in hopes that it would help, but Ronald entered a trance instead. He began barking and growling as scratches manifested on his body. They came together to form the word hell. Father Bowden leaned into Ronald as he prayed, and Ronald slipped his hand out of the restraints and punched Father Bowden in the groin. After a moment, Father Bowden continued his prayers and tried to give Ronald the consecrated host, but Ronald spoke out in an extremely deep voice, "I will not allow him to receive." Each time Father Bowdern tried to give him the host, he would bite, bark, and growl. Father Bowdern tried to encourage Ronald to accept a spiritual communion instead by saying that he wanted to receive Holy Communion, but Ronald couldn't get the word communion out. Instead, he screamed out in agony as a wave of pain came over him. Shortly after, he fell into a deep sleep. When the priest entered Ronald's room on Tuesday night, he was already in a state. His body was twitching and his eyes were closed. They started the prayers of exorcism. On this night, when Father Bowdern commanded the demon to reveal his name, Ronald said aloud, "I am the devil. I will make him awaken and he will be pleasant. You will like him." Ronald's eyes immediately snapped open, he smiled, and he seemed to be himself, but only for a moment before he slipped back into his trance. Then he said aloud, "I am the devil. I will wake him, and he will be awful." Again, Ronald's eyes opened, but this time he was irritable. He grumbled throughout the rest of the exorcism, but he wasn't in a trance, he was just annoyed. Father Bowdern tried to give him Holy Communion, and again, a deep voice emerged from his mouth that said, "I will not let him receive Holy Communion." And with that, Ronald fell asleep. That was the end of the session that night. Father Bowdern came up with a plan. Instead of waiting until nighttime, he asked the hospital's chaplain, Father Seraphim Widman, to start giving Ronald Holy Communion in the mornings. Father Widman happily obliged and also offered to help Ronald with his Catholic instruction in the daytime. Ronald was very pleasant during the daytime. He spent his time reading comics and books, helping with odd jobs in the ward, and playing games with nurses, but by night, he was a terror. On Wednesday the 13th, Ronald received Holy Communion in the morning, and Father Halloran stopped by unannounced. It was a warm spring day, and he offered to take Ronald out. Ronald excitedly agreed, so they checked him out of the hospital for a day, and drove to a Jesuit estate called the White House Retreat Center. It's a beautiful mansion that sits on 80 acres of land along the bluffs of the Mississippi River. It's still functioning as a retreat center to this day. On the grounds, there's a pathway with statues depicting the 14 stations of the cross, which is the path Jesus endured on the way to his crucifixion. Ronald was excited to see them, and he was very interested, but the further along the path they got, the more anxious Father Halloran became. He could sense that something was changing in Ronald. As they reached the 14th station, Ronald snapped. He began to scream and run directly towards the edge of the bluff. Thankfully, Father Halloran was able to reach him and tackle him to the ground before he made it to the cliff's steep edge. Father Halloran and another Jesuit student that had accompanied them drug him back to the car and left for the hospital. Besides the day after his baptism, this was the only time that Ronald had entered into a trance during the daytime, and he had no recollection of it. That night, during the prayers of exorcism, a deep voice emerged from Ronald and said, "God has told me to leave at 11 tonight, but not without a struggle." According to the diary, this night was the most violent one yet. When the clock struck 11, the church bell tolled, and Ronald laughed maniacally and mocked the sounds of the bells. His trance continued. It was a lie. They continued the prayers of exorcism, attempted to give Ronald Holy Communion, but failed. He fell asleep, and the night came to an end. On Thursday morning, Ronald took Holy Communion from Father Widman with no issues. Later in the day, Father Halloran stopped by to talk to Ronald about the Holy Week, the meaning behind the Holy Communion, and the Last Supper. During their talk, Ronald began to appear uncomfortable and he started to squirm around. Father Halloran asked what was wrong, and Ronald said that his legs hurt. He lifted his pant legs to reveal scratches, welts, and marks. Ronald cried and said he couldn't stand it anymore and he wished it would stop. They prayed together, and as they did, Ronald's pain began to fade, and so did the marks on his body. Father Halloran spoke about this incident to author Troy Taylor, saying, quote, "I saw the marks fade away right before my eyes." There's no easy way to explain this other than to believe that the power of prayer eased the boy's suffering. End quote. Thursday night was peaceful. They were able to get through the prayers of exorcism without any interruptions. Ronald was calm and quiet the whole time. Good Friday came and went with no issues and no sign of the demon. Saturday was peaceful as well, and after 3 days of silence from the demon, they believed that the end may be in sight. One of the Alexian brothers placed a statue of St. Michael the Archangel in Ronald's room that day. St. Michael symbolizes protection from evil forces, and the monk believed that it may help Ronald in his ongoing battle. Father Bowden thought that Easter Day would mark the official end of the possession. On Easter Sunday, they planned to wake Ronald up early in the morning, give him Holy Communion, and take him to Easter Mass in the hospital's chapel. When they arrived at Ronald's room at 6:30 a.m., they had trouble waking him. When it came time to give him the Holy Communion, he kept his mouth shut. It took Father Widman 4 tries before Ronald finally took the communion. Father Widman left, but an Alexian monk remained in the room, reading his prayer book. Ronald climbed out of bed unnoticed and ripped the book from his hands. He tried to run away, but the brother grabbed him and Ronald spit in his face. Then, a deep voice emerged from his little body that said, "I will not let him go to Mass. Everyone thinks it will be good for him." The brother called out to others for help, and they were able to get him back into bed. Later that morning, Father Bowden had just completed his first Easter Mass of the day when he received a phone call saying that he was needed at the hospital, and it was urgent. When he arrived, Ronald was in the middle of one of his fits. His body was seizing while he was screaming, kicking, and cursing. Almost immediately after Father Bowden arrived, he calmed down. He was able to leave and return to his church about an hour later. Father Bowden believed that perhaps the demon had pulled him away from the church just to prove that Easter Day was not the day it would be leaving. In the afternoon, Ronald was doing much better, so some of the monks decided to take him outside to get some fresh air and play baseball. While outside, he seemed happy and carefree. When they brought him back in, however, all hell broke loose. Before going up the elevator, Ronald punched the monk who was escorting him in the face. He then slammed his body into the monk, pinning him to a wall. The monk called out for help as Ronald continued to attack him. Several other monks rushed to his aid, and the first one to step up also received a fist to the face. 3 other monks wrestled Ronald to the ground as he bit, clawed, punched, kicked, and screamed. He was screaming that he was going to kill them. Eventually, they were able to gain control and carry him into the elevator and back up to his room. It took 6 men to strap Ronald down into his bed. Again, Father Bowden was called to the hospital. When he arrived, he began the prayers of exorcism, and the usual instances occurred, along with a few new ones. The deep voice that they believed to be the devil spoke more frequently and with more authority. Reportedly, Ronald's features contorted so much that he began to look like a different person. Everyone felt a deep chill within the room and found it extremely hard to stay warm. The stench in the room was so bad that they had to exit the room at times just to breathe. The session ended with curses and threats from Ronald just before he fell asleep. Monday, April 18th marked the 34th day of the exorcism. It started off rough. Ronald woke up around 8 a.m., kicked the nurse who was at his bedside, and jumped out of bed. He grabbed the bottle of holy water that sat on the desk in his room and threatened to throw it at the nurse and one of the brothers who ran in to help. Instead, he threw it up at the ceiling and the glass bottle shattered. They managed to get him back into bed and began cleaning up the mess. While they were cleaning, Father Widman entered the room to bring Ronald Holy Communion. When he came near, Ronald spit in his face. He persuaded Ronald to make a spiritual communion if he was still himself. Again, Ronald spat in his face, but he thought he heard a faint voice say, "I can't." He began to tell him again to try to make spiritual communion when he was interrupted by a voice. This time, it was actually Ronald, and he quickly said, "I want to receive you in Holy Communion." Shortly afterwards, the deep voice emerged from Ronald and said, "One devil is out. Ronald must make 9 communions, and then I will leave." Father Widman tried to get Ronald to make more spiritual communions, but after an hour of trying, the most he could say was, "I wish to receive you." The voice emerged again and laughed. It said, "That isn't enough. He has to say one more word. One little word. I mean, one big word. He'll never say it. He has to make 9 communions. He'll never say that word. I am always in him. I may not have much power, but I am in him. He will never say that word." Eventually, Father Widman gave up and left the room. He told Father Bishop everything that had occurred, and it was all recorded in the diary. Usually, Ronald was pleasant in the daytime, but on this day, the evilness and nastiness continued. He sang obscene songs, insulted and threatened the Alexian monks, and urinated all over. At lunchtime, he hurled his glass of milk across the room, and it shattered as it hit the wall. He picked up his plate, jumped out of bed, and threatened to throw it at anyone who moved. One of the monks dove at his feet, while another lunged forward and grabbed his arms. They were able to restrain him on the bed, and he remained that way for most of the day. Father Bodern prepared for that night's exorcism by studying the Roman ritual and reading up on cases of possession. He developed a new plan. He would force Ronald to wear a chain of religious medals and hold a crucifix in his hand. He would command the demon to respond in English, not Latin, as he noticed that whatever resided in Ronald became angrier when he spoke in English. If Ronald claimed that he was free of the demons, he would not listen and he would continue on. He prayed that he would receive a sign when the exorcism was successful and Ronald was finally free. The priest arrived at the hospital at 7 p.m. that night. When they entered the room, Ronald was pinned to the bed by several Alexian monks. He had asked to call his mom, and they obliged, but once he was out of the room, he began to attack, and he almost escaped. After hearing this, Father Bodern began his prayers. This time, instead of reading them in a loud and commanding voice like he usually did, he read them quietly. In Latin, he asked the demon for a sign that would tell the day and hour of its departure. He then began speaking English and demanded that the demon respond in English as well. There was no verbal response, but Ronald's head fell to the side as it let out a long, snarling moan. Father Bodern continued the prayers in Latin, and at one point, Ronald, acting as himself, asked what the prayers meant. Father Bodern told him, and he did his best to repeat the prayer in Latin. He seemed calm and attentive, so Father Bodern took this chance to place a crucifix in Ronald's hand. Immediately, he screamed and thrashed around on the bed. Two of the monks tried to hold him down, but he managed to break his hand free and throw the crucifix across the room. A few minutes later, he came out of his spell. Ronald asked again about the prayers, and they were even able to teach him the Hail Mary in Latin. He seemed to be becoming more and more himself when suddenly another fit began. When he came out of it, he asked to recite the rosary. Father Bodern handed him a rosary, and he prayed. He also recited more prayers, the Apostles' Creed, Our Father, 3 more Hail Marys, and other prayers. He told the priest that he felt the need to pray and asked if he was able to make spiritual communion on his own, but immediately after trying to do so, he fell into another fit. He thrashed around on the bed and cried out that the religious medals around his neck were burning him. He begged the priest to take them off. Instead of giving in, they placed a crucifix in his hand again. He didn't drop it this time, but instead he spit directly into Father Baudrin's eyes. One of the Jesuits held a pillow between Ronald and Father Baudrin to act as a shield as he continued to pray. Ronald's head lolled back and forth, his tongue flicked, he spit, he screamed, and his body contorted. It took 5 men to hold him down as he screamed out in what seemed to be pain. At 10:45 p.m., Father Baudrin concluded the prayers of exorcism with an amen, and the room filled with total silence. The silence was interrupted as Ronald sucked in a deep breath of air and began to speak. It was not his voice, and it wasn't the voice that they had come to know as the demons. This masculine voice was extremely loud and clear. The voice spoke, and it claimed to be Saint Michael, the Archangel. The voice shouted, "I command you, Satan, and all other evil spirits, to leave the body in the name of Dominus, immediately, now, now, now." Immediately, Ronald experienced the most violent convulsions and contortions yet. Father Bishop described it in the diary as a, quote-unquote, fight to the finish. Altogether, it lasted about 7 or 8 minutes. Finally, Ronald's body calmed and all was quiet. He opened his eyes and smiled. He said, "It's over." Ronald finally felt happy and at peace. There was no longer a lingering depression or darkness over him. Everyone celebrated except for Father Baudrin. The demon or demons had done this before. He was still waiting for the sign that he had prayed for. Ronald began to tell them all about the dream he just had. He saw a fierce and strong-looking angel with long flowing hair and a big, bright, glowing sword. The angel never spoke his name, but based on the description, this is presumed to be Saint Michael the Archangel. The angel pointed towards a nearby cave, and Ronald could see fire and flames emerging from the entrance of the cave. He could even feel the heat from it. Outside the cave, there were demonic-looking figures. Instead of using his sword as a weapon, the angel uttered one word: Dominus. The demons were pushed backwards into the fiery pits of hell. When they were all gone, Ronald saw iron gates close over the cave, and the gates had a word written on them. It said, "Spite." A moment of clarity swept over the priests. Dominus. That was the word the demons thought would never come out of Ronald's mouth. But it had, from Saint Michael. Suddenly, there was a loud boom that shook the entire building. One of the Alexian brothers thought that the furnace had actually exploded, but it hadn't. There was no explanation for it. At the same time, priests at St. Francis Xavier Church, Father Baudrin's church, report an image of St. Michael illuminating the dome above the altar. There it was, a definite sign. This was the moment that Father Baudrin knew that it was finally over. This exorcism had not only taken a toll on Ronald, but on Father Baudrin as well. In the course of 34 days, he had lost 40 pounds. He looked ill. His eyes were swollen and he had boils on his arms. His brother Edward was a doctor and wanted to examine him, but Father Baudrin declined. Edward had no idea about the exorcism or what could be causing his brother's ailments because Father Baudrin kept his vow of secrecy and never spoke to anyone about the exorcism. Not even his family. 12 days after the exorcism, Ronald and his family returned home to Maryland for good. 1 month later, Ronald wrote a letter to Father Baudrin telling him that he was happy and his family had gotten a new dog. In 1951, 16-year-old Ronald met with Father Baudrin and Father Bishop. Father Bishop said that he had turned into a fine young man. This is the last known contact between Ronald and the priests. In 1950, Ronald's mother, Odell, converted to Catholicism from her Lutheran faith, and his father, Edwin, started going to church again. Ronald attended a Catholic high school and graduated college with degrees in psychology and chemical engineering. He got married, had three kids, a son, who he named Michael, and two daughters. Perhaps the most extraordinary thing after the exorcism is that Ronald actually became a rocket scientist and worked for NASA. He patented something called foamed-in-place ceramic insulating material, which is a material that prevents space shuttles from burning up upon re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Other than that, he lived a very normal, quiet life. He passed away in May of 2020. No obituary was written for him. There was only a public record notice. Author Troy Taylor actually spoke with Ronald in 2004, with the promise to keep his identity a secret as long as he was still alive. Ronald said that he recalled being in St. Louis and staying at his uncle's house, but he had no recollection of anything that happened while he was there. He said the best way to describe it was that it felt like someone else's life, and he only knows about it through everyone else's memories of what happened. When asked if he knew about the book and the movie, The Exorcist, he said that he did, but he never had an interest in reading the book or seeing the movie. You might be wondering how we even have this information, since the whole thing was meant to be kept a secret. Well, not everyone had been sworn to secrecy. Remember Reverend Luther Miles Schultz and his interest in parapsychology? Well, on August 9, 1949, Reverend Schultz attended a meeting of the Society for Parapsychology in Washington, D.C. At this meeting, he spoke about how he had witnessed a poltergeist in the home of a Mr. and Mrs. Doe in a nearby Washington suburb. He told Ronald's story, used his real first name, and said that he had been taken to a city in the Midwest. He didn't speak of the exorcism because he had no knowledge on the subject. Also attending the meeting was a reporter for the Washington Post. The next day, headlines read, "Pastor Tells Eerie Tale of a Haunted Boy." The article referred to Mr. and Mrs. Doe and their son, Roland. They had simply swapped some letters around. The article opened up a can of worms, and article after article followed about a boy named Roland and a poltergeist that plagued his home. Soon, it had transitioned from articles about a poltergeist to articles about possession. On August 20th, the Washington Post printed an article titled, "Priest Frees Mount Rainier Boy Reported Held in Devil's Grip." The article spoke of 20 to 30 performances of the ancient ritual of exorcism, the boy's fits, how the boy had spoken in Latin, and more. I'm not sure how the Washington Post managed to get all of that information, but they did. The author of The Exorcist, William Peter Blatty, was an undergrad at Georgetown University when he first read the article in the Washington Post. He researched as much as he could about the case and ended up changing some of the details to create The Exorcist. Now you're probably wondering how we got a hold of the diary that was meant to be a secret, only to be seen and referenced by other exorcists. In 1978, the psychiatric wing of the Alexian Brothers Hospital was scheduled to be torn down. Before the building was leveled, workers were sent to remove furniture from the building. On their walkthrough, they found a locked room. They were able to get the door open, and inside the room, there was a desk. Inside the desk, there was a booklet or manuscript of sorts. The man who found it gave it to his supervisor, who passed it on to the hospital administrators. This manuscript was titled, "Case Study, Rite of Exorcism." It was a copy of Father Bishop's diary, and it went public. Many people are skeptical that these things actually happened or that Ronald was actually possessed, but there is an official document signed by 48 eyewitnesses confirming that abnormal things definitely happened. Before we go, I'll leave you all with something to think about. An investigator named Stephen LaChance has a conspiracy theory about this case. He claims that an unnamed church official gave him access to a medical facility located near the Alexian Brothers Hospital. He said that he and this official went through security to get into the building, took an elevator up to the third or fourth floor, which appeared entirely deserted, and the official walked him up to a door. He began to open it when the church official stopped him and told him that he couldn't open the door. Stephen questioned the official, who reportedly told him to put his ear up against the door. He did, and reportedly, he could hear things flying around and crashing into the wall. The official asked Stephen if he knew where he was, and then told him that they were standing in the building where the priest stayed. Stephen had heard rumors that once the demon left Ronald's body, it didn't actually leave, but it had transferred into the body of a priest who spent the rest of his days locked up in the hospital. Apparently, he believes now that he was at that very hospital and the noises he heard from behind the door was that of the priest who had taken the demon over. What do you think? Was Father Bowdern able to abolish the demon, or did it possess someone else? Personally, I think I'll go with the first option. That's all for today's episode. The next episode of Mystic and Murder will be released mid-January. Tune in, follow, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Mystic and Murder. You can send in an email to mysticandmurder@gmail.com with suggestions, requests, and even personal spooky stories. If you like what you hear and you want to support the podcast, you can go to www.patreon.com/mysticandmurder. You can click support at anchor.fm/mysticandmurder. You can make a donation at paypal.me/mysticandmurder. Or you can buy Mystic and Murder merchandise. Head to www.mysticandmurder.com/shop to learn more. Thank you all so much for listening. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. I hope you all have a safe and wonderful holiday season, and I hope you sleep tight. Remember, all things weird lurk at night.